Today is the halfway point of the season of Lent. And there is a dramatic shift that takes place in the church's liturgy as of today. Day by day and week by week for the rest of the season of Lent, the church will put before us gospel texts that more often than not are taken from the gospel according to John. And that will continue into the Easter season as well. The first reading we heard today is important as a background to understanding John's gospel. The king of Babylon overruns Israel, destroys the temple, burns the city, and hauls off the inhabitants into exile. And there they remain for three or four generations. This is not an evil kind of exile like the exile in Egypt. The Israelites become servants, but they are given a fairly strong standing in the country. And especially the talented Israelites, the ones who had an education, or the ones who had a trade, or the ones who had some special ability, they were highly prized. At the end of the exile, King Cyrus the Persian says that he wants the temple in Jerusalem to be rebuilt. And so he tells the Israelites, leave and go back home and rebuild your city and your temple. But most of them don't. Most of them have found a good living there. And most of them would prefer to stay where they were. It's only a remnant, a handful, who leave Persia, the area that you and I know as Iraq, and go back to Israel. And they become the remnant who reestablish the nation of Israel. But those who remain behind, they become the Samaritans. And they are hated by the people of Israel. For they chose the enemy, and they chose not to return to rebuild the nation. There is no dirtier word than to call an Israelite a Samaritan. Now that's important to know, because the final step in the condemnation of Jesus, the final thing they have against him, is there is the persistent rumor in St. John's Gospel that he really is not an Israelite, that he really was not born in the Galilee, that he really was a Samaritan. Sound familiar? It's a birther context, huh? It's an argument about where Jesus was born. And that's important to know as we go through the Gospel according to John. But there is this rumor that is going around that he really is not a legitimate Israelite. The Gospel according to John is very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke organize their Gospel pretty much the same way. John organizes the material very differently. John has seven major divisions in his gospel, and all of them involve a very long conversation between Jesus and someone else. The gospel reading from the third chapter today is part of the conversation Jesus has with Nicodemus, a Pharisee who comes to Jesus by night and is intrigued by Jesus. He will appear two more times in the gospel, once to defend Jesus before the court, and once to go to Pilate and ask for Jesus' body. and bring spices for his burial. In a few chapters, there will be a conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. A few chapters later, there will be a conversation between Jesus and a Roman centurion, a very long conversation. That's the way John lays out the story, a series of conversations. And the heart of the conversation is for them to understand who this Jesus is and what he is about. There's a structure that John puts in place, a way of doing this. And it happens to be the same structure that Arthur Conan Doyle used in the Sherlock Holmes mysteries. I like reading mysteries. And I go back again and again and again to those great Sherlock Holmes mysteries. I hate the movies because the pictures in my imagination are much, much better than the movies. I like reading them. But you know, the secret to the Sherlock Holmes stories is that you have to have a foil. You have to have someone in the story who's a little bit more stupid than the reader. And that person is Dr. Watson. And Dr. Watson bumbles along as Sherlock is laying out the steps to solve the problem. And the reader says, Watson really is a dummy. He doesn't see it. And the story goes on and on and on. And all of a sudden, Sherlock does something so surprising and the reader says, wait a minute, now I don't see it. And Sherlock brings the solution out in a dramatic fashion. Okay, that's the way Arthur Conan Doyle wrote, and that's the way John the Evangelist writes. There's always a person who's a little bit dumber than the reader. Nicodemus is one of those people. You read the conversation Jesus has with Nicodemus, and you say to yourself, Nicodemus really doesn't get it. I mean, this is not rocket science, what Jesus is saying, and this guy is all hung up, and he doesn't understand it. And then all of a sudden, you get to a point, again, in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, where you say, hold it. Now he's gone off the edge. Now I can't follow it. I can't follow where he's going. And that's the moment John wants to have happen. Because at that moment, he sucks you into the story. And from that moment on, Jesus doesn't talk to Nicodemus, really. He talks to you. He talks to you. And what he wants to do is to draw you into a deep understanding of who this Jesus of Nazareth is. In John's Gospel, Jesus is always in charge. Jesus is never a victim. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel, in the agony of the garden, Jesus is crushed. In Mark's Gospel, he falls to the ground flat on his face. In Matthew and Luke's Gospel, he is down on his knees, sweating blood. Not in John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, Jesus stands erect. He is in charge. And when the enemy comes, Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus says, "I am he." And at that moment, they fall to the ground. At that moment, they become the victim. At that moment, they can't stand before the face of Jesus. For St. John's Gospel, Jesus doesn't suffer on the cross. He reigns as King of the universe from the cross. And that brings us to this gospel passage of today. Jesus says to Nicodemus, Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that those who believe in him may have eternal life. The cross is the lifting up. The cross is the glorification of Jesus. He will say that two more times in the gospel. Unless I am lifted up, you cannot have life. When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. For John, the story is a movement from earth to heaven. And it's one sweeping movement. And the suffering and the dying and the rising and the ascending of Jesus are that movement. And it all happens at once. In John's gospel, the ascension takes place the same day as the resurrection. It's all one movement. That's why it was so hard for the church to embrace John's gospel. It was the last gospel accepted because it was so different from the rest. And it was treated with suspicion. Well, what I would invite you to do is to join me during the next 3 weeks, and I would invite you to just try to find some time on a regular basis to read into St. John's Gospel. To read that conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus, or that conversation that he has with Martha and Mary, or the conversation with the woman at the well, or the conversation related to the curing of the man born blind. To read those conversations and to see how Jesus is trying to get this person to understand and to be drawn in. And to see if you get caught. To see if you come to the point where you say, just a moment, now I'm not tracking with it. That moment in which you experience that you enter that conversation. And as John wants us to do,